Blog Talk Radio.
Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. You already know what this is. This is the show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am your host, Bishop Elect Demel Elliott Hubbard, and I am so excited about our segment on today, Avoiding Burnout in Ministry. Amen. It's going to be dynamic. And so we want you, as soon as this show is over, share the link with as many people as you can. But right now, we need you to text somebody, call somebody, let them know they need to get on KDFI Radio. That call-in number is 516-387-1673. Again, that call-in number is 516-387-1673. Well, before we delve into the topic that so many of us need to hear about, we want to remind you that KDFI, where Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest growing and most dynamic fellowships anywhere on the planet. That's just a fact. And we want you to be a part. So do this for us if you haven't already done it. Go to KDFI.net. and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. That's KDFI.net. Well, we're excited about our guest on today. We want to welcome them right now to KDFI Radio. Welcome Overseer Roquez Moore, Overseer Gerald Davis, and Overseer Charles McLeod, and Dr. Douglas Petty. Welcome to KDFI Radio.
Bless you, woman of God. God bless
Amen.
You all.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, before we jump into this topic that everybody needs to hear about, we want to go to each of you and hear about where you're from and where you serve. So, Overseer Roquez Moore, we'll start with you. Let the people know where you're from.
Good afternoon to everyone. This is Overseer Roquez Moore. I am the senior pastor of New Vision Community Church in Portsmouth, Virginia, but I reside in Baltimore, Maryland.
Amen. Bless you. All right, Overseer Gerald Davis.
This is Overseer Gerald Davis from the great state of South Carolina, and I'm the associate pastor at Bridge Branch Baptist Church, and then my wife and I, we have a ministry that is community-based Transformative Vision Ministries.
Amen. We like that word on KDFI Radio, transforming. Amen. Dr. Douglas Petty, tell the people where you're from.
I am in St. Louis, Missouri. I am the senior pastor at Fresh Start Bible Church.
Amen. Praise God. How inspiring. And Overseer Charles McLeod, let the people know where you're from.
God bless you, people of God. I am the founder and senior pastor of Restoring Life Apostolic Ministry here in the big city of Valdosta, Georgia.
Amen. Praise God. Well, let's jump right into our show, Avoiding Burnout in Ministry. The question that I want to start with is, how dangerous is burnout in ministry? Some people might hear that word and say, well, everybody gets burnt out. It's not really that big a deal. So we want to start off with that. We're going to jump right to Overseer Moore. Tell us, how dangerous can burnout be in ministry?
Burnout can be very dangerous in ministry, especially if you are not spending time or lingering with God. When we look at burnout, we're talking about burnout from no time spent with Him. We're talking about burnout from doing everything else besides what you have been called or commissioned to do. Burnout can be very dangerous when you're looking at trying to go into ministry at a self-called stance. And looking at that, we have to always realize that when we are going into something that we have not been equipped for, we will always go into a burnout stage. So we have to be mindful that what we're doing, that we are doing it to the glory of God and called by God when we're doing it.
Amen. That's powerful. We get burned out. I'm not sure if I've ever heard anybody put it that way. I like that. We get burned out when we're doing everything except what God called us to do. We might have to come back to that. Thank you for Overseer Moore. Overseer Davis, talk to us for just a minute. How dangerous is burnout in ministry?
Thank you, Dr. Elliott, and thank you, Overseer Moore. I would like to say that I loved everything you said. I'm taking notes right now, and I couldn't take them fast enough, but I want to add to that, burnout is very dangerous because I tell people all the time, we want to hear from God and hear from heaven. And so when you're burned out, you don't get to hear from God the way that you should. And everything that we do in ministry, it has to be given by God. And sometimes we believe it's of God, but when we are not burned out, when we are doing the things of Christ, He's going to give us what we need during that time for such a time such as that and this. And so for me, it's when you allow yourself to get burned out, you get to a place to where you no longer hear from God the way you should.
Amen.
Now that is powerful. And I want our listening audience to really take that in. When you get burned out in ministry, you no longer hear from God the way you should. We're going to Dr. Douglas Petty. I'm excited about the show. We need this show. There are too many pastors every year. If you check the statistics, who are closing the doors of their church and walking away. And so I believe a big part of that is burnout. So, Dr. Petty, talk to us for just a minute. How dangerous is burnout in ministry?
Well, burnout a lot of times is misrepresented. Burnout is progressive. And you could go on the scale until ultimately it could potentially lead to suicide. And the reason that I describe it as being progressive, a person does not get lung cancer as a result of smoking one cigarette. It's over the residual impact over time, and before you know it, it's there. And the way that it is with burnout, there are indicators.
Yeah.
There are indicators before a person reaches the point to where they throw up their hands. There were signs that were along the way that now suddenly they're there. But if somebody would pay very close attention to it, then they would have seen a lack of energy, a lack of preparation, a lack of involvement, distancing themselves, just several things that are actually there. So you'd have to know and to be around even to recognize burnout in and of itself. Some individuals are very close and don't even know it.
Now that is powerful. That good? That we may be closer to burnout than we think. And I tell you, Dr. Petty went right where I'm going, because we want to slow down a little bit after Overseer McLeod comes and shares his thoughts. We want to slow down a little bit and say, what are some of the signs of burnout? Because Dr. Douglas Petty, he just told us that we may be closer than we think. So we need to know what some of those signs are, so perhaps that we can stop it in its track. We're going to come back to that. But Overseer McLeod, talk to us for a minute and tell us, why is burnout so dangerous in ministry?
Well, to piggyback off of what the men of God have said already, burnout can lead to not just physical self-destruction, but definitely your spiritual self-destruction. You can't give the people of God a relevant word if you're tired in body or if you're burnt out, because you're not going to spend the relevant time needed to hear from God, because you're tired in your body. You're tired of just doing whatever needs to be done. Like the man of God said, most of us, let's be honest with you, are closer sometimes than what we want to give in to. We know it, but we still want to push past that point and still try to minister knowing that you burn out. There must be a balance that has to happen in your life in order for you to keep getting burnt out. That's my standpoint.
Amen. Balance. I like that word. If anybody's taking notes, write down that word, circle it, underline it, and put a star next to it. Balance. Amen. So now let's get back to where Dr. Petty took us. Amen. He must have known in the spirit where we were going. What are some of the signs of burnout? And Overseer Moore, you can think about your own life if ever you've been burned out or close to it. What would you say are one or two of the signs of that somebody's getting ready to get burned out in their ministry?
There are several signs when we look at burnout in ministry. Some that I have seen for myself and been through for myself. One of them would be depression. When we look at, you know, being depressed from personal situations, decreased self confidence and self worth. We feel worthless. And when I say worthless, I mean we can feel worthless by the congregants, because we don't feel that we're doing what needs to be done to bring forth a fresh word every Sunday. Emotional fatigue, that compassion burnout that we normally feel when we are at a place of not feeling appreciated anymore. It may be shame. It may be guilt. It may be a sense of failure that we have failed our people. We have failed those that we watch over. One time before when I was preaching, and I felt that I wasn't giving it my all. And so at that moment, I felt burnt out. And so I had to step back and take time for myself and say, hey, Pastor Moore, get yourself together. What do we need to do to have a sense of refreshing and understanding that, you know, this is what I've been called to do. But now we have to be very aware of what needs to take place in order to resist from being burnt out. And so that would be, you know, me looking at a sense of, you know, how to understand it and what those symptoms would be.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer Moore, for having the courage to say the word depression. So many times people don't want to attribute that to a Christian. You know, there are those that say, well, a Christian can't go through depression, but we can, and we do. I love how you brought up that sometimes there's a sense of failure, that you're not giving it your all, and you go into burnout. So thank you so much for being real on today and saying, you know, I've experienced it too. There's somebody that needed to hear that. So we thank you, Overseer Moore. Amen. Overseer Davis, just jump into this. What are some of the signs you've seen of burnout?
I would like to add to what Overseer Moore talked about, and for me, it is doing things out of habit. And it's when we don't spend time with him. You know, we can church all day, but do we have the experience of who he is? Because the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we start to do things out of habit, that's when we no longer sense the presence of God. And that's when burnout happens, because we know God is not a God of habit. And so every year, just like we fall in love with ourselves, we have to fall in love with Jesus again and rekindle the fire.
Hey.
We know God is a relational God, and so we have to have that relationship with him. When we feel as if we're slipping, that's when we have to reach out to him even more.
Amen, amen. That's so good, doing things out of habit. We can fall into that, can't we? The habit of going to church. Yeah. And we know how the program's going to go, praise and worship. And you know, we memorize the program, and then here comes the word, and then the call to discipleship and the offering. And we're just kind of doing it by rote, by habit. And I think that's so good that you said that. If we're not dwelling in the Spirit dwelling in us and being led by the Holy Spirit, it could just become habit. Some people even say playing church. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Petty. Overseer McCloud, I'm coming to you. I know you want to jump into this. Give us some signs. What are some of the signs? If somebody says, I don't know if I'm burnout, what would you tell them to look for?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I was waiting. I want to piggyback on what this said, but also I've learned that when you start getting sick in your natural body, that means that you're holding on to an issue that's making you, going from the inside to the outside. We oftentimes attribute burnout to the inner being, but when you start finding yourself getting sick more and more with different issues, your blood pressure going up, your blood sugar starting to act up, that is because you're holding on to something that you should release. We oftentimes as leaders don't feel like we have an outlet to release the things that we're going through, even when home, congregation. So to me, the sign, one of the major signs is when your health starts to fail. That's when you got to realize, hey, I'm holding on to something that I need to release. Maybe I need to sit down for a little while and let my associate pastor or one of my other leaders lead the pack while I get fed. Because we as leaders sometimes get fed. So to me, the major sign is sometimes your health starts to fail. That's when you should realize, I need to step back, sit down for a little while, and watch what's going on. So that's one of the major signs that, to me, in my pastime, I had happened myself. So that's one of the things I would tell a person, make sure you take care of your health first. Because if you're not healthy, you can't teach anybody or preach to anybody anything.
Amen. Amen. That is a good point that we need to think about on today. Many of us are on lots of medications and lots of doctor's appointments. Could that be stress? Could that be a sign of burnout with our health failing? That's good. Amen. Dr. Douglas Petty, you already started answering this. So can you go back to some of the things that you said? You were listing some things. What are some of the signs of burnout? If there's someone questioning today whether they are or are not in burnout, help them out.
Well, and maybe I need to preface this with the rest of my background. I'm actually a life coach, so I'm engaging pastors' ministry in this all of the time. So I get to see it up front and personal. So part of it, why don't I say it begins with unrealistic expectations. It's that the tendency for an individual in ministry too many times is to compare themselves to others and look at what's happening down the street and tend to suggest that this is something that I might be able to do. And that's not accurate, an accurate assessment in terms of how God does what he does, is that each person has been uniquely assigned to do something. And so staying in the lane that God has placed you in. So what that says is more times than not, first indication is doing things for God instead of working with God. It's that it has us on this performance track. We've got these things that we're trying to do for him. It's pretty much like when King Saul said, you know what, I know you told me to take everything out. I know you told me to kill everything in 1 Samuel 15 and 16. I know you told me to take them all out, including the king, everything that moved around here. But I decided to save the best for you. I saved the king, and I picked the best seat, and it's because I wanted to do this. And that's part of not having the right perspective about how God does what he does, because he really doesn't need for us to do anything other than cooperate with him. So the best way to avoid it is to recognize that he's your source, he's your strength, and he doesn't need your help. He just needs your cooperation.
That's good.
Ooh, glory. Yay. Hallelujah. I felt that.
That's good.
I felt that thing. We need to cooperate. Amen. We need to cooperate with the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things that I wanted us to look at is how we operate in self-care. There are times when I talk to pastors and they don't even think about self-care. They're just so busy running around from here and there. So I really wanted, and I'm going to put you all on the spot just a little bit, but I want to know, how do you operate in self-care to avoid burnout? And I'm going to go back to you, Overseer Moore. You're the first one on the spot. How do you operate in self-care?
A lot of people probably would not agree with this, even for our listeners. But you've got to learn how to take some time off. You've got to seek vacation, whether at home, whether it's abroad, whether you are taking time just to have time for yourself. You have to understand that there is a balance in ministry and your personal life. And when we look at that balance, we're talking about being able to understand that, hey, you know what, maybe I should take a small sabbatical so that I can get myself together, so that I can recharge, refresh, and reactivate what God has for me. A lot of times when we look at reactivation, I'm not talking about reactivating my spirit, man. I'm talking about getting to a place where I reactivate Rockwell's more. What do I need to do to sit myself down and say, hey, you know what? I know that we have gone through a lot together, even in life with myself, the ministry. You know, we've done a lot, but we've got to take some time off to say, hey, you know what? I have to be effective as possible. And in order for me to be effective as possible as a leader, as a pastor, I need to take some time off. That's number one. Number two, we've got to create some clear boundaries. A lot of church people, they tend to have a relationship outside of the church. And we have to understand that when you set clear boundaries around where you work and when you don't have to work, now you are establishing a daily rhythm of screen-free time. When you do not hear or see any notifications from social media, when you don't hear anything or see anything coming from or about the ministry, when we set those clear boundaries, we are setting ourselves in a place that, hey, you know what? This time needs to be taken off for me. And I know that some of us may look at that in the wrong aspect, but there are times when boundaries have to be set. They have to be clear from the start. Last but not least, we have to prioritize our time around effectiveness rather than efficiency. And when we look at effectiveness, we're talking about having the success or a desired result. Yes, pastors, we want to be very effective when we're ministry. Yes, we want to be very effective when we may be teaching Bible study or in ministry as a whole. But we must understand that we have to delegate and automate. We have to sometimes give parts to somebody else. We have to understand what our part is in ministry. We can't do everything as pastors. And that's what leads to burnout, because we have the senior pastor doing the praise and worship. He's doing, oh my God, I talked about this at my district leadership meeting yesterday at our meet and greet. We got the pastor doing praise and worship. We got the pastor doing scripture, doing the preach word. They're doing benediction. They're doing everything in the church and have no help.
My God.
You have to learn how to get help from your ministry leaders and also those in the congregation. We have to get help, because if we don't, we will burn out very quickly. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen, I say this to my congregants all the time. If you can't say amen, at least say ouch. And I'm going to say today. Listen, I know that there's some of the listeners who are listening now and will listen later that are saying ouch right there, Overseer Moore. You kind of came down the street where we live. I know I have issues with not taking any calls and messages and cutting off sometimes. Even in my downtime, I'm answering the phone and answering texts and all of that. And so, I'm going to work on it. Amen. And I just pray that those who heard it don't just turn away. Because, that kind of pricks you a little bit. We have to learn to take some time off. Amen. We have to. I don't quite know how to do it yet, but I will learn. Amen. Thank you, Overseer Moore. Amen. Overseer Charles McLeod, talk to us, sir. Tell me how you operate in self-care.
I think making sure that you take some time for yourself away from the things in the world, meaning like vacation, take some time from them, and I think that you'll be okay. You're taking some time for yourself away from the church.
Amen. Away from the church. The problem is there's some pastors that are never away from the church. Amen. Overseer Gerald Davis, talk to us. How do you operate in self-care? What are some of the things that you do to avoid burnout?
Well, Dr. Ellie, you must have knew that I needed this segment because I'm waiting on God to deliver me right now from myself.
Wow.
But I will say, let's get delivered together.
Sometimes when you have to you have to have something in your face to see it. So, but I would add to what everybody said. I think everybody's saying some good stuff today. Like I said, I'm taking notes. But what I would say is it's important that we rest and let God do the rest. Because a lot of times, as all the overseers and the doctors have said, that we try to do everything on our own. But for me, it's spending time with my family. Because your family will tell you when you're right, when you're wrong, when to hold back, when to go. And so we have to listen to family because they have their best interests. And I always say that with burnout, we end up existing but not living. And so he never created us to exist but to live. And so we have a lot of pastors now that are existing but they're not living. And we can't preach on the true living God if we're not living. If all we're doing is existing and we're going through the day-to-day, the notions of church and all that, when we get burned out, we're just existing. And so we have to understand that when we take a break, we can't handle everything and we don't have an answer. And I love what Overseer Moore said, is that sometimes taking a sabbatical, and that may not be from the church itself, but for other things that you're doing outside of the church, because as pastors, we have a flock, but we also have things that we do in the community. And so sometimes it's taking a sabbatical from things around the ministry, because we can get so caught up in ministry, but then outside of the ministry, what do we do? Because as pastors, we like to have everything we do to relate somewhat of ministry.
Amen. Amen. I tell you that you had me in a place, and I'm meditating on that. You just said something so powerful that there are some pastors who are just existing. They're not truly living. Whew, my God. I'm not living life to the fullest. And again, I know that for some listeners, this might not be an easy show. It's not one of those shows where you're just shouting and hollering. There's some things that might make you a little uncomfortable today. But how many of you know we'd rather be uncomfortable for a few moments as God is working through these mighty men of God to minister to us than be burnt out and end up walking away from our ministry or having our ministry end before it's supposed to because of sickness or premature death. So let's take this in. We want to live. Amen. We want to live life to the fullest. Thank you for that, Overseer Davis. Dr. Douglas Petty, coming to you, jump in on this for us. We want to know, how do you operate in self-care?
Well, in all honesty, I really don't have burnout issues or concerns, and I'm saying that from the perspective that it's a gift. It's just a gift that God's given me. But I'm going to give you a context as well. If I'm talking to someone about it, the very first thing that needs to be done, and I'm in agreement with everything that's been said, but I'm going to undergird it a bit, and that is, the first thing is there needs to be a legitimate pastoral accountability relationship. Every pastor needs to have a pastor, and I'm not talking in name only, just to say this is the church that I came from and this is what I'm doing. To have that relationship, a pastoral accountability relationship, where that particular individual has been given the authority to pull your coattail because you've given it to them, and they can, and you're able to engage them on an ongoing basis so that they can have watch over your soul, since we can't watch over our own. And what that person will do, they will be able to speak life words to you about where you are and what you're actually doing. So the practice, that's the primary thing for me. I have a pastor, a pastoral relationship, like literally meet on an ongoing basis, and he's fully aware of the things that I'm doing, and he has the right to say, you are out of your mind, you need to be doing something different. So that's the check for me, first and foremost. Iron sharpens iron, it could go on. That being one. The second thing is, for me, is that I take power naps every day. They are embedded into what I do. I take power naps as a way of debrief. And what that does, if you look at the research in terms of what a power nap does for you, it gives you a chance to recalibrate to be able to do that. So these things are embedded into my schedule. I find probably twice a day, and that could be 15 minutes away from whatever. And those are my vacations. Those are my built-in vacations on a daily basis, so things don't reach to a certain point. Then the other thing is, I'll give you two quotes. One is, change what you can and adjust to the rest. Change what you can and adjust to the rest. And then to remember, your real relief is in your release. There is no relief without there being a release.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I receive that in my spirit. Amen. We got to speak something. Yes. Hallelujah. Hey, I didn't want you to let that go, Dr. Petty. You let that go too soon. That's good. Amen. That we have to release. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. That's good. I want you all to minister, to just get ready to minister. There might be someone, and Overseer Moore, just prepare your heart to minister for a moment. There might be some people out there. And no, I'm going to back up. Not might be. There are some leaders out there, some great leaders who have been serving with all their might, giving what they had, but they found themselves in a season of burnout, found themselves tired, found themselves with tears running down their face, found themselves perhaps even in depression, found themselves in a wilderness experience. And I just want you to minister to them just for a moment. We're going to give each of you a chance to minister. Overseer Moore, I believe that God has something in your spirit for the people, that if there's somebody that's getting ready to throw up their hands and say, I've had enough, that you have a word in your mouth for them. Can you just minister to them for just a moment?
Yes, yes. I want to first say this to those that are listening. That burnout is not usually found in lazy people. Men and women who suffer burnout, they're purposeful. Those men and women, they're committed, they're unselfish. They're idolistic servants of God, and burnout often hits people who believes, who commits and serves with all their heart in the area towards which God has directed their commitment and involvement. I've come to let you all know that there is a charge that you have to keep. There's a charge that God has given you to do the work that he has given you to do. And in this work, I want to let you all know this, that there are times when you feel that you are in the wilderness. But can I suggest to you all that if you go to Lodabar, God will come back and get you. Yes, he will. He will come back and get you out of Lodabar, because when we look at Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth says, my desire is to sit at the king's continuously. Even though I'm lame, even though I've been dropped by my nurse, he says, my desire is to sit at the king's table. He had to stop by Lodabar just for a few moments. To help him to understand that, hey, you know what? I might be in a tight place, but God still has my back. And so I want to encourage you all today that are listening, that are on that are on the verge of breakout, that are on the verge of giving up, that are on the verge of just throwing the entire ministry away. I want to encourage you that you have a charge to keep. I speak to your mind. I speak to your spirit, man. I even align my faith with yours in this hour for you all to get back up and get yourself together and gird up your loins and say, you know what? I've got this, because God has given me a charge. He's given me a charge to keep. He's given me a assignment to do, and my mandate cannot be diminished. My mandate cannot be stopped because the enemy wants to see me quit, but I can't quit just yet because there's purpose and what God has in store for me. So I charge you all to keep moving, to keep pressing in the spirit. For when we look at prayer reaches every single situation. So I'm praying for you that God will give you the strength, that God, will give you a sense of urgency in this hour to say, you know what, you can't quit, because the enemy wants you to quit. The enemy wants you to give up. But can I suggest to you that you are evidence that the enemy cannot touch you? Glory to God. And so I'm praying God will continue to build you up in this hour, for you cannot come down off the wall now, for there is work that has to be done. God bless each of you, and may heaven smile upon you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Overseer McLeod, I believe that there's a word in your mouth for the people. There's someone that's thinking about walking away, throwing up their hands. They can't take it anymore. But we need you to minister to them right now. Come on, man of God. Minister.
Amen. Hallelujah. The man of God just stirred me up. I just want to encourage you today that you don't throw in the towel, that your best is still yet to come. Let us not be weary in our well doing. So in due season, if we continue to do what God has called us and not faint, we will reap a crown of life. Let us lay aside every weight that evil set up. Don't give up any problems that you face that's not a part of where God is taking you. So my message to you today is to drop the weight. Any weight that is weighing you down, anything that's keeping you from what God has called you to do, drop the weight. Leave it where it is. Where God is taking you, you can't have that extra weight on you. So don't take on any weight in this season, man of God, woman of God, that's going to weigh you down and keep you from where God is taking you. So I encourage you today to drop the extra weight. Be blessed. May God keep you is my prayer.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Drop the weight. Drop the weight. Hallelujah. If it's weighing you down, drop the weight. Amen. These men of God are ministering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Overseer Gerald Davis, there's a word in your mouth for the people, that man of God, that woman of God right now that feels like she can't go on. He can't preach another sermon, can't do another service. Can you just minister to them right now?
Yes, we all know the woman of issue of blood and how she had nothing going for her. She had nothing left around her. But one thing that she knew is that she heard about this man called Jesus. And I know all of us have heard about this man called Jesus. And she had the audacity to have enough in her to keep on going. And so today is not the day to give up, but drop your anchor in God. She said, my weeping may endure for a night, but one thing I rest assured is that my joy cometh in the morning. Now, the Bible never told us when it's going to come, but she rests on the fact that she knew it was going to come. And she said, if I could just hold on just a little while longer, what I'm looking for is right around the corner. And the Bible says that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And somebody today must touch him. And I want you to recognize how she reached out to his hem. And it's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. So somebody today, just reach out and see what God has in store for you. Even when everybody around her, everything was dead around her, she went to a man that had everything in the inside of her. And not only did he take it away, but he took everything that she thought that she didn't have. He took it away and said that everything shall come for your good. Even when the enemy has it out for you, everything is working for my good.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can you just receive that on today? I'm receiving that. It's all working for my good. Amen. Overseer Davis, you don't know that I preach that. Amen. It's all working for your good. So if you could just receive that, the Spirit is moving. If you could just receive that on today, it's all been working for your good, and God has been preparing you for the place that he's going to take you. Don't give up too soon. Amen. Don't give up too soon. I believe your breakthrough is on the way. Amen. Dr. Douglas said, I know that there is a word in your mouth for the people. Please minister to that man, that woman of God, who feels like they're getting ready. They've already made the decision, some of them, to walk away. Would you minister to them in this moment?
Well, it would start in Psalm 42 to just say, soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God. And not only does it say it one time, it says it twice. So first of all, I need to talk to myself. I need to talk to me to remind myself, why was I doing it in the first place? The reminder. The second thing is I need to be vulnerable with somebody to just tell the truth, to talk to somebody that I can just tell the truth to. But you don't talk about your challenges or concerns to anyone who can't help you, but it's somebody who can help you. And you just talk to them and be vulnerable, because everyone needs to have somebody to talk to. The other thing is this. The very thing that burns you out is the very thing that will build you up. And what does that mean? Then that says when you learn how to go and serve in silence and anonymity somewhere where you're not the beneficiary, then God will infuse you with what is needed, because he will exalt you. You would have humbled yourself to serve, then he will build you back up, because you're serving somebody else rather than doing the things that bring attention to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I've heard several times that we have to be vulnerable. We have to be vulnerable. But here's the issue. Here's the issue. And I'm getting text messages. I want you all to know you are ministering. You are helping people. Someone just texted me and said, this is for me. Amen. And so I want you to know there are people who are listening that need this. But you just opened the door, so we got to put a foot through. You said we've got to be vulnerable. This is the issue with that. There are people who have been so hurt, woo, and recovering from church hurt is a whole other show, but there are people who have been so hurt that now they don't know how to be vulnerable. There are people that trusted and heard their business all in the street. And so we know that talking to someone is a part of the process. But what do we say to people who have been so hurt and so let down that they don't even know how to be vulnerable anymore? They don't know how to trust anymore. We can't leave this show without dealing with this trust issue. And so, Overseer, I want to come to you. Can you minister to us just for a moment? to the people who say, but I've been hurt. How can I be vulnerable after they hurt me so badly? Overseer Moore?
Vulnerability cannot be fixed, or it cannot be cured if we don't express or are willing to express our feelings or expose our feelings. We have to say what we want. You have to express how you're really thinking or what you're really thinking. And lastly, you have to slow down and be present. I want to say that last part again. You have to slow down and be present. When I'm talking about presence, I'm talking about being seen. You've got to get to a place where you understand and have the mindset that when I show up, things can happen. I might not have it all together right now, but there's a blessing in my showing up. There's some strength in me showing up. Because just like the man of God said about the woman with the issue of blood, she would have never gotten healed if she hadn't showed up.
Woo!
Yes, Lord. You've got to understand that in this season that you all are in, men and women of God, that in order for your vulnerability to be cured, you've got to slow down and show up. That's right. You've got to wake up in the morning and motivate yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to just show up today and show out, because I understand that when I show up, I'm now strengthening my inner man. I'm now strengthening the very fact that when I show up, there's some things that are going to shift in my favor. And because I had the audacity to show up in the midst of what I was going through, in the midst of being burnt out, in the midst of being exposed, in the midst of throwing in the towel, midst of throwing my hands up saying I give up, I know that when I show up, God's going to have something in store for me. And so I encourage you all, women and men and women of God, that you've got to show up in order for God to show out on your behalf. God bless each of you.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to rejoice right there. Show up. Amen. Keep showing up. Amen. And Bishop Snotty, a friend of KDFI Radio, just texted, isolation is one of the main tools of the enemy. And that goes right along with what you were saying, Overseer Moore. So many people have experienced church hurt, that they've been so let down, that they start isolating themselves. But thank you for that word. If we just show up, good things are going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe God's going to direct us to who we can trust. But we can't isolate. Thank you for that word, Bishop Snotty. We can't isolate.
And
we've got to continue
Watch this here, Dr. Hubbard. For those that have showed up on the line today, God's about to bless your thoughts off. He's about to blow your mind just for you showing up today on this radio line. I just want to speak that in the atmosphere because listen here, because you showed up today, God now understands your heart. Just by you showing up, you have given God permission to bless you.
Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, God. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory be to God. Woo! You trying to mess us up, Overseer Moore.
Overseer Moore.
I can get back in that for a minute. Yes, thank you, God.
Overseer Moore, you got me stirred up in here because, man, I tell you, when you just show up, things begin to happen.
Okay.
When you show up, chains being broken. When you show up, he'll make a way when there is no way. Sometimes all you have to do is show up. The woman with the issue of blood, she was at the right place at the right time.
Yes, Lord.
Because it's important that sometimes you can be at the right place and have the wrong posture. But because she was at the right place at the right time. And the blessings of God is showing up on her behalf.
Oh,
and the thing
God.
Is, she
Thank
went
you.
To God, and she already expected that God
Thank
had worked
you.
It out before she got to him. So what he says is, if you only believe, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That is so good. You all don't realize how you are ministering. I'm getting text messages. This is ministering to people. And I just, Overseer Moore, just give us just a little bit more of that, because you're ministering. There are people that are closed up in their house right now, closed up in their room, don't even want to go outside because they're so hurt. But there's a word, just show up. Can you just give us a little bit more of that? Glory be to God. Thank you, God.
In my isolation, that's when the enemy will use that to his advantage. Watch this here.
Oh, yes.
Every time my students come into my classroom and I call their name, they raise their hand and say, here.
Yes.
When they raise their hand and say, yes, here, they are now acknowledging that I don't know how I got here. Watch this here. From what took place at the house this morning. I may have went through some stuff before I walked through the threshold of Mr. Moore's classroom, but because I'm present,
yeah,
that now shows the enemy that I've got some faith on the inside of me that can help me to keep pushing. I got something on the inside of me that can force me, watch this here, that can provoke my move in faith. Lord have mercy. You got to have enough faith to say, hey, you know what? I've got to get up from this place. And oh, my God.
Yeah.
And everyone now that's in your room, everyone now that's afraid to come out your house, I call you back to that place of faith. Yes, sir. I call you back to that place where you once were. I call you back to that place where your faith, you had some crazy faith. I call you back to that place now. I even go inside your mind in the realm of the spirit, and I charge your mind now to shift. I charge your mouthpiece now to shift in the very presence of where it needs to shift. And I bind the very hand of enemy now against your faith level. He has to take his hands off of you because you are a child of the King. I bind every witch and every warlock that comes in and tries
to
go into your space and tries to interrupt the faith level that you have. I take authority now, and we now arrest the enemy now on house arrest in the realm of the spirit. And I speak to your mindset now for you not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so now, God, do it now for your people.
Do it.
Do it now.
Do it now.
Do it
for
now.
Your people.
Do it
we
now.
We decree and declare it to be so, according to Job 22:28, where you said in your word that whatsoever we shall decree and declare, it shall be established. And so, God, we speak establishment now for your people. Those that are isolated, that does not want to come out of their house. They don't want to come out of their comfort zone. God, we speak establishment. We decree and declare it to be so. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We love you, oh God.
Thank you, God.
And we appreciate you. And, oh God, we understand that when they come out this time, it's going to blow their minds. So
yes,
when
sir.
They come out, they're coming out with victory. Yes, Lord. They're
victory.
Coming out with more power.
Power.
I hear
more
the Lord
power.
Saying,
I
hear the Lord saying, cast your net again.
Cast your net again, but this time,
it won't be the same answer. Cast your net again, man and woman of God. Cast it again. You've been toiling all night, and you haven't seemed to have caught anything. But God says, cast your net again.
Yes, sir.
Cast it again. It won't always be like this.
Yes, sir.
But the Lord is protecting. It's high, my soul. Protecting that which concerns you. Man and woman
of God. Thank you.
you are on the mind of God. And he has not forgotten about you. He has not forsaken you.
Thank you, God.
On the other side.
Thank you, God.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I just got to worship for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you. God, thank you, God. I'm just going to keep showing up. Hey, I'm going to keep showing up. Hey, I'm going to keep showing up. Overseer Moore, thank you for igniting our spirit. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you for igniting our spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hey, glory be to God.
Yes,
I don't know
Lord.
Why you keep stopping. I feel like God has more in you. Amen. But I want Jeez. You to know, hallelujah, that Bishop Snotty is saying, I'm going to cast it again. Amen. He's been revitalized, recharged. He said, I'm going to cast it again. Oh, glory be to God. Surely the presence of God is in this place. Surely, oh, the Spirit of God is moving, amen, and we have heard from the man of God who has challenged us to show up, who has challenged us to cast our nets again, even when we feel as though, even when we feel as though we don't have enough strength to do it. I'm telling you, God can do it. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Oh, glory be to God. Dr. Petty, are you still on with us? I know you have to go, but do you have just another minute to share a last word from you?
I do have a minute, and thanks for that, because I am about to head into a group that I lead for the very thing that we're talking about, and that is healing from emotional pain, church hurt, burnout,
yeah.
abuse, on and on and on. So that's part of what I'm headed in to do now. But I wanted to leave my website. That I do services and I do not charge. If people make a donation, they can. I'm not looking for other things to do, but if I don't say this, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I need to just say that people can reach me at my website. It will give my background and how I help, and that's www.kingdomanswers.org, because I know with some of the things that people need to have some time to talk through. And what it does is just to help people understand how to be healed and how to not go back into the pit. Because sometimes you can get out of a pit and don't see the next one coming and you're back in another one. And it's to talk about how to sustain everything that's being able to be done. So anybody can reach me, and you all can, and tools that I may have in the ministry that can then help you all, then I'd be more than glad to do, since I know this is clearly my assignment. This is just what I do all of the time. And so thanks for inviting me. But they're staring me in the face now out on this lot, wondering, are you coming in or not? But you have all my contact info, you know, and everything else is actually on there. And so any way that I am able to help, obviously, I'm willing to do that.
Amen. Thank you so much, and we're going to have to get you back on here so you can tell us more about what you do. But thank you so much, man of God, for joining us. We appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you all, and thank you all, team, for being a part of this, because right now you all are just on a roll, just on a roll, right? So
yes,
blessings
Lord.
To you all and to the people that are listening in, Okay, all right, you all take care.
Amen. Bless you. Again, that website, listen, if you need someone to talk to, a lot of times, you know, there are people who have said, I can't afford to go to anyone. He just said he does not charge. Dr. Douglas Petty, this is what he does. If you need to reach out, that's www.kingdomanswers.org. Amen. We want you to reach out to him. All of his contacts will be on there. Spread the word, spread the news. We need to be of service one to another. Amen. Well, I just believe that we want to leave people with a just one more thought, amen, one more golden nugget that they can hide away in their spirit to help them run on a little bit longer. Overseer Moore, we're going to give you the last word. But Overseer Davis, before we bring Overseer Moore to give him the last word, is there anything you wanted to add to the people? I know that through the text I've been getting, that people have been inspired by the show. They've been motivated. They've been galvanized. Is there any last thought you want to leave with our listening audience to let them know they better not give up?
Yeah, I want to add to what Overseer Bo was saying. And y'all remember Job and how Job said, in all my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. And my favorite character in the Bible is Joseph. And we understand that his appointed time did not come until he got to the palace. But we understand that before the palace, he had to endure the pit. And many of us have had to have a pit experience, but you have to go through something in order to come out on the other side. And so we have to understand also that that pit that, that God made for Joseph, it wasn't an afterthought. It was a thought given by God. And so it was tailored. It was made for him. And whatever pit you find yourself in, just know that the hand of God is upon your life. Because every time we look in the Bible, it said, and God was with Joseph. And I want to tell somebody that God is with you on today. No matter how dim it looks, no matter how bleak it looks, just know the same God that did it for you one time, as the old folks say, he's the same God that can do it again. Look at the story of Joseph.
Thank God.
How he was handcrafted by God. But everybody sees that Joseph began, and he saw himself in the palace, but he was not. But he did not begin there. And so the Bible said, don't despise small beginnings, even though it may look like nothing is there. Just hold on just a little while longer.
Yes. Hey, oh, glory be to God. Listen now here, Overseer Geraldine. You've been looking at my sermon notes because one of my favorite sermons to preach is from the pit to the palace.
To the palace.
Oh, glory be to God. We're going to have to get together. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Overseer Moore, surely you have ministered to us on today. I believe that there's some folks who said, look, I'm going to have to keep showing up. Amen. And before we go, we just want to give you the last word. Amen. Come on, man of God.
Amen. Truly, it has been an honor to be here with you all this afternoon. I hope and pray that what I've said has encouraged you all to go to the next level, to get from that place of complacency and do what you've been commissioned to do by God. I want to piggyback what the man of God just said. When we look at the story of Joseph and those people, we have to understand, the Bible lets us know that in verse 6 and 9, that Joseph told his dreams of his promotion to his brothers.
Yes, sir.
Now, when we look at that, because he did that, his father rebuked him. I want to encourage you all, you can't tell everybody where God is taking you.
Come on, man.
Come on here.
And that's why we fall into the category of church hurt. Now watch this here. I'm going to be very transparent with this, and I don't want you all to rebuke me for this. Sometimes, or majority of the times, church hurt has occurred because we've had our mouth open for too long.
Lord have mercy. Mm.
Joseph told his dream of his promotion to his brothers. That's what caused them to go into the pit. But now look at this. Look at the consequences of his dream. Mm. They put him in the pit. Now here is Joseph, the favorite son of his father, in a stinking pit. Not placed there by some enemy, but by his own brothers.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Those brothers who cared nothing for him. Those brothers who only a few moments before was conspiring to kill him. The same ones that sat down and ate with him.
This boy they called Joseph, had dreams for his future. He felt that in his heart that someday he would be important. But here, he's in a pit. He's left there to perish with hunger and thirst. And some of you all this afternoon that are listening to this radio series in Radio Land somewhere, some of you all may be in a pit.
Yes, sir.
You thought everything in your life was going good. You may have achieved success, and life cannot be any more satisfying. The road of life was smooth and graceful, but there were a few minor bumps in the road along the way. But then you found yourself in a pit, and you cried out to God, "God, what am I doing in this pit?" I want to encourage you all today that God is coming to pick you back up again.
Yes, he is.
God is coming.
Yes, he is.
He's coming to visit you. He's coming to get you to a place where you should have already been. And I want to encourage you all that when God places something in you, you can't allow the pit to stop you.
That's
when
right.
When God promises you his favor and grace, don't let the pit stop you.
When God says to you that he will bless you
and prosper you, don't let the pit stop you. When you have a goal in life that will bless you and bring honor to God, don't let the pit stop you. I've come to prophesy to your mindset to not allow the pit to stop you, for you, when you come out, God will have a plan for your life. When you come out, you're going to come out with purpose. When you come out, you're going to come out with power. You're going to come out with some substance. When you come out, God's going to have an idea for you. He's giving you a way of escape even now while you're on the line listening.
Thank you, God.
I ask you all this question, if you've never felt pain, if you never felt pain, how in the world would you know that God was a healer?
Oh, come on.
Thank you,
if
God.
If you never felt pain. If you never had a trial, how in the world would you know that God was your comforter? If you never made a mistake, how in the world would you know that God was forgiving? If your life was perfect, what would you need God for?
Thank you, God.
If you've never known suffering,
how in the world would you know
that Jesus went through? And so today I call you all to get your faith back.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't allow the pit to stop the promise.
Yes.
There's a promise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's on your life.
Yes.
And you can't allow your pit experience to stop you from doing what God has in store for you. Listen, Tim Moore, I just want to come and give you all some encouraging words. It is my prayer that you will do all these things that God has commissioned you to do. I love you with the love of Christ, but God has the greatest love. Go in peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Overseer Roquez Moore, Overseer Gerald Davis, we thank you so much for being on with us. Hallelujah. We thank Dr. Douglas Petty. Don't forget to reach out to him. And certainly, Overseer Charles McLeod, we thank God for our guest on today. We are praying that something has been said, that something has been ignited in your spirit, that you know that the pit is not going to stop the promise. Amen. That you know you're not going to throw up your hands and walk away, because God has something for you. You have been listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. And let me tell you something. I have a feeling that things are getting ready to get better. God bless you.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.